Off the Ball Rugby.
The story is it's because it's his son, but if it was whatever, Owen O'Brien, with that experience, it's his fourth Lions tour. He does it. This is meat and drink to him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome along to part two of the Road to the All-Ireland Hurling Final, the three-part podcast detailing the entirety of the Hurling Championship, backbone by Off the Ball's own mix of pundits. I'm David Wilson. In part one, we detailed the opening periods of the Provincial Championships, so if you've missed that, go back, scroll up or down on your podcast feeds and give that a listen to first. But for now, let's get back into it. Kilkenny cruised into a Leinster final, winning four games from five, their only defeat coming against Wexford in a meaningless game. The Cats were joined by Galway. Micheál O'Donoghue's side defeated the Dubs in Parnell Park by 5 points to consign Dublin to a preliminary quarter-final, whilst the men from the West played their third final in 4 years against Kilkenny. But even with Kilkenny showing good form, Kilkenny legend Richie Hogan was worried ahead of the final.
And I mentioned last week, and I'll carry it over to this week, I'm very worried from as a Kilkenny person. I'm very worried. What we need from Kilkenny this weekend is a team that is incredibly focused on this game. Not three games to win in All-Ireland or four games to win in All-Ireland. This needs to be do or die for them, or else I feel that Galway will pull one over on them.
Hogan and the Kilkenny support had little to worry about as Derek Ling's men held off a late Galway rally to capture their 77th Leinster senior hurling title as they completed six provincial crowns in a row at Croke Park. They were cruising to victory when they led by 13 points after 57 minutes, but Galway struck 1-6 without reply in a blistering 7-minute spell before Kilkenny rallied and closed out the win. But the game was never truly felt like it was in the balance. So that was Kilkenny straight into an All-Ireland semi-final, whilst Galway faced the backdoor route via the quarter-final. And on that Monday's off-the-ball breakfast, Kilkenny stalwart Tommy Welch explained the differences between the two teams.
Yeah, it's a big question, and that's the one that will have to be answered by Kilkenny. You can only beat, I suppose, Colm, as you said, what's in front of you. Just going back to the Leinster final, I'd say, Adrian, you made a great point. Just came into the tail end of your conversation about the rugby, about playing in a giant stadium. Mm. Like, it is tough to replicate any of those atmospheres, no matter who the teams are in a stadium like Croke Park. You know, there's probably around 40,000 people at it. So it's just so hard to replicate the atmosphere and the energy that is encompassing a smaller stadium where the place is full. And you'd see that in club games when it's a club game is brought into Nolan Park or brought into, I suppose, Parky Cueve or brought into Turles. But when they're in the smaller grounds, the energy and the atmosphere can be absolutely electric, and that can bring performances to newer levels. And just like that first half was all about the goal, you know, TJ Reid caught that amazing ball in from Paddy Deegan. And like Paddy, it looked like he was going to be shooting for a point. You know, in today's game there is a lot of long range shooters. Paddy would be one of those, often scores 3, 4, 5 points, and he floated a lovely ball to the, you know, crossfield ball over into the far side of the field, and TJ Reid behind you is not the place where you want TJ Reid to be. And he went up, caught the ball or brought it down anyway. Solo looked like he'd take it a point and brought it in probably 10 more yards and took the shot. And it was a great save by Aina Burke. But Massey Keown played like a player that's in form for all of this year, where you're not just waiting for that to hit the net or waiting for that to go over the bar. You're saying, what can I do here that can help the team? Right, I'll go in and hover around here in case the goalie saves it. Bang, into the back of the net. And that was the only difference in the first half, Colm. It was 1-9 to 8 points around that time.
It was, yeah.
And 1-9 to 8 points. And then was just the second half. Kilkenny just took off. And the difference, I'd say, between the two teams, the first 7 points for Kilkenny were from seven different scores. Can you believe that? Mm. And the last score of those seven was TJ Reid.
Yeah, yeah. I noted so that. Yeah, that's crazy.
And over the course of the hour, from numbers 5, Mikey Carey, right through to 15, everybody scored bar Richie Reid. And Richie is more of a defender anyway, kind of holds back in that pocket. So that will probably tell you the difference. Towards for Limerick, I felt they heavily relied on Cottle Mannion. They heavily relied on Conor Whelan to win ball and Kevin Cooney, I suppose, to a lesser extent, over the full hour. So I just think it was the 15 players for Kilkenny were just that bit more stronger than Galway. And where have they come in the last 12 months? I think like they were missing Owen Cody, so they will have a shout, but they will be heavily underdogs, I would imagine, going into that semi-final.
So back to Munster now, and Cork would look for revenge on a Limerick side that had embarrassed them in the group stage. But could Cork do it in a Munster final? Ahead of the game, former Cork dual star Rena Buckley told Shane Hannan that the previous round robin hammering had an impact on the Cork fans' mindset.
No, I would say it's definitely had an impact on the psyche of the supporters, I would say. I mean, I suppose Cork Sports went to Crow Park last year and, you know, I suppose we were facing an All-Ireland final, not against Limerick. And, you know, there was a lot of hope, not massive expectation, but, you know, people were really hoping for, you know, a good result, a good performance. And on the day, look, it could have gone either way. Fair dues to Clare, they got over the line. And but I suppose Cork got an awful lot of hope from the latter end of 2024, you know, getting up, you know, beating Limerick twice, unlucky not to win All-Ireland. Then we came into this year, a very good run in the league, won the league final, and I suppose Cork people kind of felt, you know, our time was coming in terms of getting our hands on Aileen McCarthy. My own personal view going into the Munster Championship was, I was hoping that, you know, we'd learn something from the Munster Championship. You know, I'm not sure how much we had actually gained from the league. Very consistent throughout the league, but I was kind of thinking myself, if we could learn a lesson during this Munster Championship, get out of Munster, you know, we'd be in a good place then going into an All-Ireland campaign, let's say. But we did get that lesson, and I think the lesson was a bit harder than I was hoping for. And there would be a bit of a worry that it would have rattled a bit of confidence. No, if Cork had a performance today, you know, they might have benefited from that loss in the Munster Championship. But the attitude among the supporters and the talk on the streets, let's say, has certainly, the confidence has been dinted a small bit. So despite all the Corkness, you know, Cork people will certainly not be as cocky going into the Munster final this evening.
Whilst Richie Hogan pondered the scenarios that could happen in the Munster showpiece.
So there, if you play the scenarios over in your head, scenario one, it goes exactly as it went 3 weeks ago. That's a disaster for Cork. I think that's unlikely. Scenario two, Cork show up, do a hell of a lot better than they did previously, really put it up to Limerick. Limerick also show up, whether that be in a very professional manner or whether that be with the anger and the drive and the determination and the hunger that they did the last day. And we get a great game and Limerick get over the line. That's the most likely scenario, I think. Cork really putting it up to them and Limerick taking their eye off the ball, I think is also it's probably the most unlikely scenario, and Cork getting over the line here. But usually I would say, no, there are no moral victories, and there are no moral victories, but like Cork need to say, well, first of all, we're playing to win a Munster Championship final. Of course we are. But on the back of what happened to us down in Limerick 3 weeks ago, that is absolutely not going to happen again. So that'd be the attitude that I'd nearly forget about winning Munster Championships and winning games. It's playing to get your own pride back and to say, well, look, are we going to sit back and let Limerick do to us what they did 3 weeks ago? That's the starting point, I think, from Pat Ryan's perspective, and let the result look after itself. And, you know, we talk about moral victories. Nobody is saying that you aspire to be beaten by 2 or 3 points, but you absolutely ensure that you don't come off the field embarrassed, which is the way they would have come off the field 3 weeks ago. and disappointed. You come off with your head held high. We gave it absolutely everything. If the result goes our way, great. If it doesn't, we regroup and we go again. Doesn't mean that they won't be disappointed, but they should be tired, they should be sore, and they should be, you know, hurt from a different perspective if they lose.
Why is this John Kiely Limerick team so imperious in finals in particular?
Yeah, good question. Very similar to the Dublin football team. Every time they get to a final, they generally tend to get over the line. I don't know the answer. Certainly our team, the team that I played on, and I often push it back to that, we didn't always get over the line in finals. We were beaten, I think I've been, I'm not too sure how many finals I've lost personally, but possibly four, maybe five. So, like, you know, we've lost our fair share, whereas Limerick, when they get to the final, they have this habit of getting the job done. When they play well, getting the job done. When they don't quite meet the mark that they did in previous games, it's just part of their identity, which is ironic because Limerick teams over the years would have been brilliant until they got to a final and then maybe, you know, struggled to get over the line.
What played out will be a Munster final that will be remembered for the ages. Cork led at half-time thanks to a first-half display in which they were more energetic and more aggressive, 114 to 110. The treaty drew level thanks to a goal from Shane O'Brien, and the teams ended up being level 16 times across 94 incredible minutes of hurling. And it was, well, who else would it be for the Rebels to equalise, to take the game to an extra period than Patrick Horgan. Referee Thomas Walsh felt the strain and he was replaced in the first half of extra time by James Owens as the intensity of the game caught up with just about everybody. Aaron Gillan maybe thought he had won it for Limerick, but a Dara Fitzgibbon 65 meant that for the first time ever in a Munster decider, it was to be settled via penalty shootout. Nicky Quaid saved from Fitzgibbon, but Conor Lehan, Shane Kingston and Alan Connolly all found the back of the net. Declan Hannan stepped up for the decisive penalty, but he dragged his effort off target and Cork were Kings of Munster for the 55th time. Tommy Walsh was there for us alongside Off the Ball GA correspondent Tommy Rooney, and they took in the full-time scenes.
Tommy Walsh, grab that microphone.
How are you doing, Tommy?
The 2025 Munster final has ended, and as you can tell, Cork are champions after penalties.
Yeah. Wow. And it's like being at a concert, Tommy, like, look out there, like, they're singing, they're chanting, they're dancing. It's unbelievable scenes here in the Gaelic ground. It looked like Limerick were going to pull away in normal time. Cork came back, extra time. It went against them with the toss because they lost it. And Limerick went with the wind. I thought myself then that was kind of advantage Limerick. But they stuck in, they fought all day long. And to meet the six in a row Munster champions is an amazing feat. You can see him now, Campioli, like, there is no better feeling if you're from Cork, especially if you're a Cork player or manager, someone that had a big impact on today, and what a day it is for Cork.
Absolutely remarkable stuff, like, from the 16-point defeat 3 weeks ago, totally wiped out, to what we saw today. But we knew straight away, Tommy, that Cork were a different side today.
And they were, because they scored straight away after about 20 seconds. Patrick Horgan, he was taken off, but he still scored 4 points from play. All day long, different guys were stepping up at different stages. Healy and Barish in the first half were brilliant. I thought the two downies finished so strong. At the end of the day, when the game is in the melting pot, sometimes their tactics and game plans go out the window. You just have to be able to win the ball. And the two downies were down there, they were catching balls with probably one of the greatest teams to win their own ball against Limerick. Like, they weren't playing against guys that are only starting off or guys that have no experience. So to do it against the best gives you even more satisfaction.
Mark Coleman said in the aftermath of the celebrations that it was a long time coming.
Yeah, it seemed all right. Jeez, it was a long time coming, all right, and we had to grind it out big time, but they're the sweetest ones, definitely.
Talk to us about what you felt out there, apart from the cramp in the second half of extra time, because that was coming for you too, given all you did.
It was. Yeah, like, the first half was incredibly difficult. I probably felt worse at half time than I did at full time, to be honest. It was just the amount of running that was going on in their half forward lane and stuff was, you know, was tough to deal with, to be fair. But
and was that as well to do with the amount of stock he put into a good start here, given what happened 3 weeks ago?
It was, and I think they were going after a quick start as well. Like, so it was just, we knew it was going to be frantic, so it was just a difficult first half, to be honest, chasing after fellas and stuff like that. But the second half, we kind of, you know, you get your second wind and stuff, and we settled into the game a bit better. And I suppose we done well to, I suppose it was a strong win there, to be honest.
So that was Limerick into an All-Ireland quarter-final, whilst Cork went straight to the semi-final. That is all we have time for on part two of the road to the All-Ireland hurling final. Follow along in your podcast feed to find part three ahead of Sunday's showpiece. Remember, you can build up to the games on Off the Ball this weekend on your radios from 1 p.m. with John Duggan. Keep an eye out for our social channels and our podcast feeds for some very special guest interviews. I'll be back with immediate post-match reaction to the final whistle on Sunday evening on Off the Ball's Final Whistle. Catch you in part three.